Amateur Radio Newsline report number 2081 with a release date of Friday, September 15th, 2017. To follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams help after Hurricane Irma sweeps through Florida. Two New York amateurs operate an on-air tribute station to 9/11. And a partnership between India and Russia gives rise to a new satellite. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2081 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Bloomington, Indiana, here's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
We begin this week's newscast with Hurricane Irma, one of the most powerful hurricanes to sweep through the Atlantic region. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, spoke with one of the amateur radio coordinators providing assistance in hard-hit Florida.
My city manager was at one of our city staff meetings, and we've been through quite a few of these, and he looked over to me and says, "You don't like this storm?" And I said, "No, I don't."
Irma was one of the most powerful hurricanes ever to hit the state of Florida. Steve Szabo, WB4OMM, is the North Florida section manager for the ARRL.
Right now, I'm waiting for the state of Florida EOC state cert to send me amateur radio requests for deployment in the field. We will be soliciting ham radio operators nationwide, anyone who would like to come volunteer and help. And what they will need to do is sign up on a website. And when they go and they register, as we have deployments that are requested, we will send information out to folks. Basically, they will run the same. They are deployments to public safety and emergency management command centers. We're looking for amateur radio operators with dual band HTs, spare batteries and chargers, and obviously self-contained for several days. They will provide shower and sleeping facilities in most cases. They will provide food and beverages. But generally, we're asking for an HT and like an outboard antenna, something that will increase the range to provide communications capability to shelters, public safety agencies, hospitals, and the like.
The website to volunteer is volunteerflorida.org. That's all one word, volunteerflorida.org.
It looks like most of the Florida Keys will be in the greatest need for the state. We'll also have some in maybe southwest Florida in the Naples to Port Charlotte area and maybe some in the center of the state. There are areas, particularly in the Keys, where there is no infrastructure left. The high winds and the flooding have just removed everything.
Szabo says an emergency coordination plan can most effectively address needs.
The biggest request I could make, and I do speak for all three sections, all of us got together years back. We have a common operating plan down here. We all work together. A lot of well wishes, sending information down. We're getting those. Please don't be insulted if they're not acknowledged. We just don't have the time. We do appreciate that. And also, folks, do not self-deploy. There's evidently been at least one government agency in the center of the state that has sent out a request for hams. We would ask that, even though you're interested in that, to respond to the state requests first, because those are coordinated and those are the most effective as far as being able to provide the resources where they are most needed. The term I used this morning with some folks was we're looking at unmet needs, not unmet wants.
Reporting for Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
As this year's weather events have demonstrated, you can never be too prepared. Hams on tiny Whidbey Island in Washington State helped local residents understand the extra value of radio at critical times. Here's Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, with those details.
With an earthquake in Mexico, wildfires in the Pacific Northwest, and hurricane season plaguing the Atlantic, Caribbean, and Gulf regions, emergencies are everywhere. So it was good timing when hams in tiny Whidbey Island in Washington State demonstrated the value of disaster preparedness recently. The hams were part of a safety and emergency prep fair held in Island County, where attendees were reminded that living on an island further complicates any difficult scenario. The fair was organized by Puget Sound Energy and showcased various government departments and other offices that helped with preparedness as well as response to serious weather events that take down power lines and have other consequences. Vince Bond, K7NA, Public Information Officer of the Island County Amateur Radio Club, and Dave Fish, W7DAF, explained the various ways that hams keep people connected when conventional communications go out. Organizers stress that residents should prepare for events such as an earthquake or tsunami that could leave them stranded, something that's on everybody's mind a whole lot more these days. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Who can forget the image of New York City's Twin Towers or the ravaged Pentagon building in Washington, D.C.? These buildings and the plane wreckage in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, are forever symbols of September 11th, 2001. In New York City, two amateurs remembered as well with a special event station. Here's more from Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT.
Jim, WA2DNI, and his friend Andy, KC2GOW, aren't likely to forget September 11th, 2001. The retired New York City police officer and the paramedic were among those who worked side by side in the months following the nightmare attack on the Twin Towers that killed nearly 3,000 and reduced the landscape to a heap of ash. The friends teamed up again this month to mark the 16th anniversary of 9/11 by operating Special Event Station WA2NYC. I asked Jim about this year's response.
A lot of thanks for working the station, for remembering what happened here at the 16 years. Actually, when the QSL cards come in, I have we get some very nice letters from people actually writing stuff on the back of the QSL cards thanking us for operating the station from last year.
Jim said that despite solar flares and poor band conditions, he and Andy logged more than 900 contacts in all from their two Staten Island locations, many from hams with 9/11 memories of their own.
I've spoken to a couple of first responders that were actually down there on down at the Trade Center. A lot of guys from FEMA, I can't remember the call was offhand, but a guy was one of the FEMA guys that were down there, and he said he was down there, and I said we probably crossed paths at some time when I was down there. So there's quite a few first responders that are actually involved in amateur radio, and you may cross paths with somebody, and you might not even know it. You talk to them 3 years or 4 years later, and say, "Oh yeah, we were down there at the Trade Center," and you hold a little bit of a conversation. But the problem is, you know what the piles are like. You want to try and work as many people as you can. So a lot of times it's a quick 5-9. Thanks for working the station, and you kind of move on to the next person.
Regardless, said Jim, the response this year, as in previous years, makes the friends' effort something that won't be forgotten. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, in New York.
If you are in Canada, there is still time, but not much time, left to nominate the RAC Radio Amateur of the Year. This is an honor conferred by Radio Amateurs of Canada, recognizing outstanding work and contributions to the amateur community. The deadline is September 29th to submit nominations and supporting documents to the RAC Corporate Secretary at RAC Headquarters. Candidates should show a consistent record of contributions to benefit amateur radio in the last year or consistently over a period of several years. The winner will be selected by a majority vote of the Board of Directors and notified by mail. A formal presentation of an award plaque will follow sometime later. Be listening for Special Event Station W7NTV on September 18th through 22nd. The National Tribal Amateur Radio Association, which promotes the use of ham radio on American tribal lands, will be calling QRZ on 20 and 40 meters from the National Tribal Emergency Management Conference in Lemoore, California. This is a good time to connect with American Indian amateurs and to support their work. The association held its first Special Event Station last year, making more than 300 contacts over the course of 5 days. For details about this year's event, visit the QRZ page of W7NTV. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the Condor Connection Network of linked repeaters in California, Arizona, and Nevada on Monday nights at 1900 Pacific Time. The diplomatic relationship between Russia and India is about to reach new heights. A team of youngsters from both nations is building a satellite. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, has the details.
20 students from the Moscow Aviation Institute have teamed up with 9 youngsters from various cities in India to create a communication satellite that will be taken to the International Space Station next month for launch by a cosmonaut. Known as the 1U CubeSat Iskra 5, the satellite, which will weigh less than a kilogram, will be sent into orbit shortly after arrival during a spacewalk. The young team of satellite builders was created through the program known as Space Kids India. The technical work has been going on at the Moscow Aviation Institute, where the Iskra series of satellites has a long history. Amateur radio operators and students have been collaborating on such satellites at the Institute since the 1980s. According to Space Kids India, the outer cube of the satellite was designed by the Indian students, whilst the Russian youngsters concentrated on the subsystems. The satellite is designed to provide amateur radio communications, including SSTV, and it will operate for a period of 3 to 5 months after its launch. A ground station in Russia will keep track of all relevant data whilst it's orbiting. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Bucci for NJH.
Communication satellites of a different kind play a very important role in the usefulness of a new device created in Australia. For that report, we hear from Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Most of us know what a beacon can do for amateur radio, but a new device to be worn by members of the military give beacon operation a bit more of an urgent role. Its creators are calling it the Fight Recorder, and it's to be worn by soldiers in combat, enabling low Earth orbit satellites to pinpoint casualties when they occur. In addition to its geolocation function, the Fight Recorder will also collect data useful in reconstructing whatever encounter may have preceded the casualty. The device is the result of a partnership between Australia's Ministry for Defence Industry and two companies. Marriott, an Adelaide telecommunications company, is teaming up with iMeasureU, an Auckland, New Zealand company that deals in wearable technology. The Fight Recorder, bringing dust off to a great new height. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Scouting's Jamboree on the Air is coming soon, but until then, we have two more busy stations activating the K2BSA call sign as we hear from Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
This week in Radio Scouting, we have two activations of the K2BSA call sign, one activation from Scout Camps on the Air, and we're 5 weeks out from Jamboree on the Air. David Hinckley, KA0SOG, will be activating K2BSA Portable Zero from the Kansas City Speedway in Kansas City, Kansas, from September 22nd through the 25th. This council-wide weekend jamboree hosts around 14,000 scouts and scouters, where they will participate in many activities, including the STEM area, where an extensive amateur radio setup will be offering different HF, VHF, and UHF operating modes for the scouts to experience. They will also have an ARIS contact with the International Space Station, where a few lucky boys will get to ask questions with an astronaut. Gregory Piopi, KB2ANG, will be activating K2BSA Portable 3 in Braden Air Park N43 in Easton, Pennsylvania, from September 29th through October 1st. This is a great opportunity for scouts to get their aviation merit badge, but also a great time to get on the air. Gregory's team started this 2 years ago in order to offer scouts an activity while they wait for their flights. They set up an HF and VHF station and provide a little introduction before getting scouts on the air. Terry Gamper, N0BXQ, will be activating KN0BSA from Camp Wakanda in Bellevue, Nebraska on September 23rd. This is a Weeblos Cub Scout event and will be operating on the JOTA frequencies. Speaking of Jamboree on the Air, we are only 5 weeks away from the largest scouting activity in the world. This is the 60th anniversary of the event this year, where over 1 million scouts participate across 150-plus countries. This is the month that you finalize your activation plans by having your participant certificates and logs printed out, prepare and print QSL cards, finalize your roster and donations, and if you haven't registered your station, you need to do that now. If you want to reserve the K2BSA call sign for your activity, now is also the time to do that. We have a few call areas left. For more information on K2BSA and radio scouting, please visit our website at www.k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
If you're in or near Kentucky and like being by the water, you and your HT might play a useful role in this event. Jack Prindle, AB4WS of Amateur News Weekly, shares this report with us.
Ham radio operators are needed on Saturday, September 23rd for the Cumberland River Challenge Canoe and Kayak Race, which is an annual event hosted by Union College, UCanoe, and Barberville Tourism. The race consists of 15 miles of river ranging from calm water to beginner-level rapids. The race starts on the Knox County line bordering Bell County and finishes in Knox County at the Thompson RV Park. Annual bragging rights and awards are presented at the end of the race. Ham radio operators are needed to help with event communications. If you're interested, contact KM4VHI at KM4VHI@ARRL.net. Covering your amateur radio news in the greater Cincinnati area and the Commonwealth of Kentucky for Amateur News Weekly, this is Jack Prindle, AB4WS in Big Bone, Kentucky.
For more news of the Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana tri-state area, visit the website amateurnewsweekly.com. In the world of DXB, listening for David, G4NRT, operating as Z21NRT in Zimbabwe until September 29th. He'll be on 80 through 6 meters, single sideband, CW, and digital modes. QSLs can go to his home call. You can work E6AG through the 25th of September. The operator is VK5GR, and he is on the island of Niue. He will be operating holiday style, and QSLs go via club log OQRS to M0OXO. Be listening for JW/OM6TC from Longyearbyen Svalbard through September 20th. QSLs go to his home call. Three Russian amateurs are operating as A25BI, A25SP, and A25BE in northeastern Botswana through the 25th of September. Listen for them on 160 through 6 meters using CW and sideband. And in Mauritania, a group of Czech operators will operate as 5T5OK until the 28th of September. Be listening for them on single sideband, CW, and RTTY. Send QSLs to OK6DJ. The group will upload logs to Logbook of the World as well. And finally, we have this story of one amateur radio operator who's running for office in a political campaign that could well be described as QRP. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us more.
As a licensed radio amateur in New Zealand, Basil Lawrence ZL2LBJ knows how to communicate. So when he announced he was running in this month's parliamentary election, he stated clearly what he wanted to do. Give the average person a choice, different to that offered by the big party candidates. According to local media reports, Basil hasn't bothered with billboards, mailings, or newspaper ads for this campaign. In fact, he doesn't even have much of a budget. He is, however, a ham, and as every amateur knows, there's nothing like a good rag chew. So he's been bolstering his campaign with eyeball QSOs, by chatting with friends and neighbours, and speaking at local candidates' meetings. It's not all that optimistic for him, winning a seat in Parliament, but at least he can count on a 5 and 9 wherever he takes his campaign. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, Fairfax Media Digital, Hap Holly, and The Rain Report, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Ohio Pen DX Bulletin, Radio Amateurs of Canada, South Whidbey Record, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, and WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG in Bloomington, Indiana, saying 7-3, and as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017, all rights reserved.